have all the choir coming up. Get the choir. We'll start the service here in about 2 or 3 minutes. Conductor to stop this train. Where's Andrew? All right, number 413 in your hymnal. 413, gonna stand and sing. Love lifted me. 413. Play that again, Steve. Sing now.
I will sing the deep and sing the song of the peaceful Lord. Very deep and sing within. Thank you for the more. I shall last along with thee, heard by the clarion cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I.
say amen tonight. Now we get on the third verse of the chorus. Instead of saying, love lifted me, which is true, let's say Christ lifted me, for he is love. Amen? The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. When we get to the chorus, instead of love lifted me, let's say Christ lifted me. Let's say
all right, together. Souls in vain to look above, be completely saved. By his love, out of the angry wave, he's the master of the sea, rebels his will obey. He will save the lost and bring the saved. Christ lifted me, Christ lifted me. When nothing else can help, Christ lifted me.
In prayer and ask his blessing on the service, and then you can be seated. The choir will sing another number. Father, we love you tonight, and what a great joy it is to be back in the house of the Lord on Sunday night. We so enjoyed the service this morning and the movement of the Spirit of God, but tonight is a new night. It's a new time. It's a new meal, and we need fresh bread from heaven this evening. We're so glad to have Brother Dave Clemmer and all of his family here, of course, from Peru, where Maisie and Sandro are, and we're going to hear from them in a little while. Good to have Matt's mother here with us tonight. What a blessing that is, and they're going to sing for us in just a little while, and so we're excited about that. We pray you'll bless the choir, the special, and then the preaching of the Word of God. We'll be careful to thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated.
Thank you.
Well, of course, we've had a good one there. Well, let's stand. We've got some visitors among us tonight. Let's stand. We're going to give the choir a chance to come down, give you a chance to fellowship together. Singing this evening, and thank you for being in the service tonight. We're going to go and continue on with the service. We've got some special music for you, and then we're going to hear from Brother Dave and the work down there in Peru, a new video they have prepared. You get to see a little bit more of what's going on there. Of course, they send things to us regularly, pictures, things like that. Of course, you can see them on the mission board out there, our digital mission board. You just pull up their name, and you'll be able to see those things. And I believe it'll be a blessing to you. Let me just make an announcement real quickly. The new Hall of Glories for November are on the table back there. If you use this for your daily devotion, be sure and get one. One per family, or at least no children, okay? Because a lot of times they get them and don't use them. These things cost money, so we want everybody that uses them. Now, if you're a teenager and you use these for your daily devotion time, then certainly get one. But if not, please leave them for the adults. And you be sure to get those on the table back there behind the, right there behind the camera, when you leave this evening, okay? All right, let's continue to pray for folks we've mentioned already this morning. Margie Johnson, Sister Claudette Shad, Brother Ed Coker's at home, not feeling well. Remember him. Jimmy Lloyd, Lily Hendon, Jimmy and Nancy Rose, Shirley Hughes, and let's continue to pray for these folks if we can, all right? All right, Brother Brian, you got some announcements for us here?
Remind you real quick, we got Wednesday night service at 7, of course. Potiphar's is this Thursday at 7 o'clock, and then the sewing Saturday at 10 o'clock on Saturday for the men to go out knocking on doors. And Pastor Appreciation Sunday is next Sunday. Don't forget about that. After you've turned your clock back 1 hour and you go to bed Saturday night, have a good time Pastor Appreciation Sunday, and then baptism Sunday night for McKenna. After the service on next Sunday night, we're planning to have a fellowship in honor of our pastor, Miss Judy. So if you're, ladies, if you're interested in helping with that, with the food, see Miss Inez after the service tonight. So see her after the service tonight if you want to help next Sunday night. Everybody got that? Good. All right.
And if I have spoken to you about doing a speaking part in the cantata, or if you're interested in doing that, helping us out so I don't have to use a lot of choir members, see me after the service, and we'll try not to interfere with that other meeting, but it's kind of urgent that we get this thing started, okay? So let me explain, and we've got an expert with us that confirms my anxiety and all that stuff. Oh, I'm not supposed to be anxious. I taught in Sunday school. So if you have volunteered or I've spoken to you about doing a speaking part in the cantata, meet with me, and I tell you what, let's just meet in my Sunday school room, the first room right here, just for a couple of minutes, okay? Hymn number 231. Follow along. Let's all take our hymnals. 231. Stand as we sing. Sing the first and last stanza together now.
Down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the flowers are blooming and the sweet waters flow. Everywhere He leads me, I will follow along, walking in His footsteps till the crown be won. Beside my Savior would my soul ever keep. He will lead me safely in the path that He has trod, up to where they gather on the hills of God. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I will follow on. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. Everywhere He leads me, I will
good singing. You can
all right, thank you. Ushers, come on ahead. We'll take care of the evening offering this evening. And I want to welcome Matt's mother, Miss Kelly, is that right? Miss Kelly, we're so glad to have Miss Dial here with us. And her and Matt are going to sing for us in just a little while. And she's the one that taught Matt all he knows about acting and singing, living, and everything. Is that right, Matt?
Amen.
All right. He didn't answer right away, though. I think he was trying to check out what part he had something to do with. But I guess TV reporting is his part of all that. Matt's a sportscaster on Fox Watch or whatever that is. One of them places on there. And now he works specifically the Clemson games. He turncoated on us. He was doing Carolina games. And he went to Clemson, of all places. It's just a job, all right? I don't know what to hear him telling them. I like this. He gets my son so riled up, sometimes can't be around these both. In fact, Matt, I just thought about something. While Judy and I were gone, was it last week you kept the house to watch a game with Andrew? I found out something about you. You're as wild and nutty as he is. Stephanie said it was in stereo, jumping up, what? This is like they could hear on the TV. Isn't it amazing how men will scream at a football game on TV and expect everybody there to hear them above everything else? Beside the fact that it's on TV, but anyway, they told me, Moore said, Matt, you tweet, what is that, tweet, Twitter, tweet, something like that, whatever you call that, said, that probably wasn't the right word to use. Anyway, he would send out messages, all right, it's offering time, forget Matt, just let's forget he's even here right now. All right. Well, now, at the end of the service, we're going to take a love offering for the Dave and for the work there. We love Mangy and Sandra, of course, and Steele. They send pictures of little Steele all the time. I'm telling you, what a cutie. Looks just like his daddy. And man, what a cutie pie he is. And so now they're expecting their second child in, when is it, Dave? In February. So coming up pretty soon. And so they'll have two children. And we're excited to hear from Brother Dave and excited to hear from Matt, his mom, here in just a few minutes singing for us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing on the offering. Brother John Garden, will you pray for the offering, please?
pastor knows I'm deaf in this ear. Apparently, I'm blind in this eye. All right, he's trying to get my attention. Well, you've already been told, and Matt told me to introduce them as Matt and Matt's mom. So we're going to have them come and sing for us before Pastor introduces the speaker.
I spoke with my mom because, you know, I grew up in theater with her and going on TV, and I would say I would get speeches before I sing, and then with both of us up here, I'm like, whew, we could be here a while just talking. We're just going to sing.
Yeah. This song is a very special one to me because I don't think because I don't think sometimes we appreciate the Holy Spirit, and we all need Father and Son. And so this song kind of gives a little bit more meaning to the Holy Spirit because, again, an equal part of the Godhead. And it's called Breathe On Me.
Harmony is always the best harmony, family harmony. I just believe the Lord fixed it that way, and we're so glad to have Miss Dow here with us to meet her. And I tell you, Matt's a great feller, Miss Dow. You did a good job raising him. I'll tell you, we love Matt around here. We appreciate it. Wish we could see him more, but his job takes him away some. We understand that.
But Matt's a good Christian young man, and I'll tell you, he lives his testimony, and I appreciate that so very much. Well, glad to have Brother Dave Clammer. Come on up here, Brother Dave. This is Maisie's dad. Then all the rest of Dave's family stand up after, his wife, and then his daughter, Madison, and Jameson's here somewhere. Where'd Jameson get? Oh, okay, so Jameson's back there. I hope he's treating the baby good. All right. So we love, and this is their children. You've got four now, five? Four. And we are so glad to have, and then I think you have one from Peru. Is that, where's the boy?
George.
Yeah. He's not here. Okay. So we appreciate this, dear family. Thank you so much. We all love Maisie and Sandro, and the family is growing, the ministry is growing, and that's the way it should be on the mission field. But Brother Dave Clammer, this is the dad of the group. This is the patriarch of the family. And Brother Dave, for many, many years, worked with Ward Trucking Company. How many years did you work with them?
10 years.
About 10 years. And years ago, when I needed work, he gave me a job. Now, my dad was a truck. I grew up around truck drivers. I'm talking about in the 70s. And so I found out when he gave me a job out there, and I found out quickly with all that technology and computers and all that stuff, it just wasn't the same. I couldn't get it figured out. I'm telling you, I'm dumb as a rock when it comes to that kind of stuff. But Dave was so good to help me out like that. I've always loved Brother Dave Clammer. He's been such a great Christian, and he's raised a good family, and now he's there. He quit his job. Did you retire or just gave it up, huh? Went to Peru. And he's down there helping in the ministry there, helping to serve in the ministry there with his family. And so Brother Dave's going to tell you a little bit about what's going on. Then they're going to show a video when that's through. Then I'll just give you a few thoughts from the Word of God, and we'll go to the house. All right? Come on, Brother Dave. God bless you. I love you, buddy.
I love you, too. I'll clarify that. I'm not retired. But I will say we sold our stuff, and we decided it was time. Sold our cars and cashed in the 401k, and we walked in faith in it. Told my boss I was leaving. He said, when? I said, tomorrow morning at 9, I'm flying to Peru. And so in many ways, we walked the American dream, but we did it for a purpose. And it was really for an example for our family, for example for our grandchildren, and to really live what we believe. And so we're blessed to get to do that. And Christians, we're intermingled for a lot of years. And Madison grew up with best friends with Bethany. And I can tell you right now, whoever your kids hang out with, that's who they're going to be. And so it's always important to realize that, because Madison and Bethany have probably grown closer by the day in Christ and as women, as examples, and as tender to my heart. We're going to roll right through, but I can't tell you how much we appreciate being here. I can't tell you how much my wife, Anna Cristina Hernandez Diaz, as all you all know, is a single dad for over 21 years, and I chose not to date, and I got off an airplane and in Mapur at 2:30 in the morning, and I met this woman named Angela Cristina. And unbeknownst to her and unbeknownst to anybody, the second day we were there, we were walking through an area with no water source, giving out water. And this girl who knew me not from nothing, and she turned to me and she said, I believe God's calling me to be a missionary. And I ran back with real excitement in my heart, and I told my daughters, and my kids were all with me in Peru, and I said, God's put somebody in my life. And less than a year later, we were married, and we started an orphanage 8 years ago, and the work's developed from there. But now, yes, Steele Mendoza, I pray already that he is going to be the guy that brings the gospel of Jesus Christ. One thing I should make it clear, I'm a born-again Christian. God alone changed my life. He changed everything. He changed my destination. He changed everything in my family just by serving him and by our faith. Go ahead, I'll talk. Go ahead and start it up. We partnered with Medical Missions International this summer, and they bring the physical needs, three doctors, for people in real poverty. And they brought us in as the Christians, as the spiritual side. So it gives us a captive audience to witness to hundreds of people this summer. That's our dog, Chucklo. Chucklo in Spanish means corn, so we basically have a corn dog. So this is our neighborhood, and every day, every morning, people walk their animals to the fields. Generation after generation, they keep that same land and they live off that land. So donkey is a normal way of transportation, a normal way to move things around. It's our backyard. And in the distance you see one of the volcanoes, we're at the base of two volcanoes. Of course this is the orphanage. We have 35 kids there, and they're actually 6 years old to 32 years old. So it's a mix of men, women, boys, and girls. Again, that's the backyard. It's near the garden that we work in. So there's Nuki. She's 22 years old. She's a quadriplegic mute. Perfect in God's eyes. Can you imagine one day her first words will be to Jesus Christ? Purity. Incredible. So we're blessed to be the family. We're the mom and dad figures. We're the families. We're the ones that get to hold the ones that the world chooses to ignore. 29 of our kids have no verbal skills, no sign skills. They live in pretty challenged situations. This is the Medical Missions International, a group of Americans and Canadians that come down from May through August, and they invited us to be the spiritual side of the counseling. It's really cool because we have a small church. We have maybe 8 to 10 regular members and plastic chairs. So we're growing, you know. They don't know how to do it. So Preacher Rick gives us some world peace in here, right? And we know what we're supposed to give, so we do. But then we got to take it, right? We got to take it out in the community. And that's where the church really functions. So we're getting to take our own people out. We got to bring them to the clinic. We got to take them to the hospital for visitation. So that's my birthday and Father's Day. Couldn't probably get any better than that day. That's Betty. Betty's 16 years old. She's got microcephaly. When she was a baby, when she was 2 years old, her family couldn't handle it and they put her in a fire. I understand the screams allowed conviction and somebody pulled her out. It took away her ears and her lips. It didn't take away her smile. She burnt over 85% of her body. And she's grown up in the orphanage. She's 16 years old. But I can tell you, I can't imagine what her parents or family would think if they saw Betty today. She can't talk, but she sure can love. That's where we get confused, right? We want to tell everybody. We want to talk. But a lot of times, you just need to show them. Sandro and guinea pig. That's my granddaughter. And Betty and her son, Taylor. We had a school day. We invited the community to come. Nobody came, but they didn't care, and I didn't care. We had a great day. We danced culturally, and just shared family time together. It's that crazy garden. That thing grows and grows and grows. I would have made it smaller, and we would have done less, but God had a bigger plan. We really pull so much vegetables out of that garden that we feed every kid there. We feed the staff there. We have single moms who take that food out in the community and sell it, and they also eat and live off of it. Cristobal?
What are you doing?
It's Elmer. This is our neighborhood. This is that okay? And you can go right to the next one if you would.
Hello, it's an anchor family. Thank you for your love and your support. We love you. God bless you.
Daniel's family plug there. We're going to roll right into a brickyard. We live and serve right near next door to a brickyard. And I'm going to introduce you to the woman at the well. You know, the whore, the one that everybody shuns and doesn't love, but God loves her. And God's given us a whole community of people just like her. So this is about 10 minutes from our house. An estimated 300,000 children live in the streets in extreme poverty in Peru. 26% of children between 6 and 11 work. 35% between 14 and 17 work. 41% of all school children aged don't go to school because of poverty. So this is the community that God's given us. Overrun by single moms. She's actually making two bricks at a time. So if you make 1,000 bricks, it takes about 2.5 to 3 days, you get about $7. So if you divide it out, it comes out to about 30 cents an hour. It's not enough to live off of. It's enough to feed your family for the next day and begin again. So most women work 6 days a week. Some of them start at 2 or 3 in the morning because of the sun and work into the afternoon. Others will work more of a daylight type. But you can see in the background that if your kids are under school age, they sit with mom. Maybe you can't have your baby back there. They actually run with the brick because it's so heavy. It's a community with no water, no electricity, no sewage. And notice the houses are stacked brick. They're not mortar brick. They just stack brick, and then they put metal on it and put bricks on the metal to hold the roof on. This is your normal house. So in the picture, Angelica is 9 months pregnant, making brick. We came to pick her up. She started a bus route. She's the only family that gets on our bus. But she's been faithful for us. So literally that morning when we went to pick her up, she had to go and wash off and get ready for church. So this is her house. We just did some real basic things. A lot of it you're just teaching. It's not what we're giving, it's what we're teaching. It's the time investment that we give to these people and the family. We try to be that father figure in many ways to, and not necessarily enforce, but teach. This is what you need to do. You're 14 years old. Your responsibility is to clean up the yard. Your responsibility is to put your clothes up. It sounds so basic, but again, if you think about no infrastructure, you don't learn those things. Because really, you're just trying to figure out what I'm going to do for tomorrow, right? We brought in these shelves. You'll see just a little bit and a little bit of elbow. I made a difference. So just a kitchen table, really, to put the stove on. If you don't have water, you don't throw out your water. So if your water is really dirty, that's the water you have. All we did there was put wire up, wire from pole to pole and some hangers. And again, we just 30-cent boxes in the local market, used box, put names on it, said, okay, this is your school box, and this is your clothing box. So there's number six, baby Esmeralda. God, as only he could, gave her a perfect child. They sounded in steel. It was important, this was about 2 weeks ago that they were out visiting, but it was important as a family that we go out, not just the dads, not just the guys, but as we go out as a family, and we go into their home, and we say, you're important to us. So baby Esmeralda was born really, really quick on the spot. She was 2 weeks late, and we talked to alert the police and said, look, we need to get her to the hospital when she is ready. And so they gave us the number to call, and about 5 o'clock in the morning, Angelica called Sandro and said, I can't find the number. And we don't have 911. We don't have directory assistance. So we don't have a call. None of us. So Sandro called his brother as a taxi, and his brother John came and picked him up and then picked her up. And they went to the post, which is the local clinic. And a little bit of discussion whether to go to the clinic or the hospital. I go to the clinic, and her water's broke. And so it's coming. Baby, the doctor's like, you're crazy. Go to the hospital. Well, you just don't call an ambulance. You have to hire an ambulance. So we paid an ambulance. They came, and they took her. Sandra jumps in, riding along, you know, representing. And as they came through the lobby of the hospital, as you saw the hospital last time, I think, through Nazi and Sandra, the feet came out. And so not only did she have a breech baby, she had a live natural birth breech. And the next morning, we got a phone call, and she said, hey, Dave, I need to ride home. They discharged me. So Sandro and I went to the hospital in a taxi. And again, it's third world, so it's not the big taxi like you like. It's a little one that I have to kind of sit sideways because I'm a little bit chunky. And so I've got a baby in the back with no car seat, no nothing. And she's 15, 16 hours old, so we're already scared. By this time, it's 7 at night. It's in the dark, and we're going through the brickyard. The baby, of course, is hungry. So here's Sandro, baby, eating. Me in the front, but it's all part of what the Lord's brought into our life. It's an incredible blessing that we get to share life with her. And again, for other families in that community to look at that family and figure out why they come to see her and maybe invite them to church. It's the first community that I've been in Peru that I thought of a church plant versus come to our church. Because if I'd say, hey, here's 5 soles to a buck to bring your family to church on the bus, they say, well, can I just feed my family? So we have been doing Saturday, like a Saturday student ministry there. And Lord willing, I hope to today start a church. Thank you for your time. Thank you for all your love and support. Pastor, I love you.
I always love seeing videos from there, but it always breaks my heart to see those folks living in such poverty. But, you know, they have souls just like we do. The amount of money you have does not determine what kind of soul you have. You were born with a soul, rich or poor, black or white, makes no difference. But a lot of the children that Dave and Ben deal with are kids who just literally are handicapped to the point where their mind, they don't have a mind, or they're just not able to function. And like Brother Dave said, and I believe it to be true, I think God has their heart, God has their soul. And when he said about that young girl, that young lady who hasn't spoken, but the first words she'll speak are to God, and let be his blessing. Well, I want you to turn real quickly to Genesis chapter 16. I'm just going to give you a couple of things here real quickly tonight. I appreciate Brother Dave, and Brother Dave's such a humble man. I don't guess he probably never yelled at anybody in his life. I don't guess. I think he was talking about as loud as he could. Right, Christina? But I love Brother Dave. So I love the whole family. Had the chance to teach Madison in school, and then Angie, I think Judy taught Angie and Madison, I think. And we've had a tie with this family for a long time. He's got a son, Davey, who lives there in North Carolina. He's married, got a family, goes to church there to, is it Benton's Crossroads where he goes? Hamilton's Crossroads. This is one of them crossroads. I can't remember which one it was. Anyway, got a great family, and so we're just pleased and we're thankful to have that good connection. This is chapter 16. Page number 25, if you need the page number, in your Schofield Bible. But Genesis chapter 16, and I think this message will sort of go along with what Brother Dave just showed us on these videos tonight. I want to give you a couple of thoughts real quickly. I won't keep you long.
on the God who sees. God who sees. And it's very evident that God sees those children and those families and those towns and that ministry. We may not see it except on video. We get to see it on when they come on furlough or hear stories. Or if you look on the board out there, you see things that they send to us, the pictures and so on. But I'm sure that Brother Dave would agree. It's just not the same as being there. I hope maybe someday the Lord will open the door for us that you and I can go to Peru and see the work in person and try to help down there. You never know how the Lord's going to do that. But we pray and thank you for your giving. Amen. Thank you for you, church, giving to this ministry and others. And we have a special place with them. Get verse number one of Genesis. You don't have to stand this evening. I'll let you sit. I'm just going to read a few verses out of Genesis chapter 16, beginning in verse number 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Now I want you to understand that what you're reading here seems and reads kind of unseemly, but in Bible times, it was a cultural fact that when a wife could not bear children, because children were such desire of the Bible families, as God gave the command to multiply and replenish the earth, that God allowed in certain cases, and the law allowed. Now, it doesn't mean that God did not ordain this, but God allowed this in certain times. But here, the problem here is that God had already promised Abram and Sarai, before they were Abraham and Sarah, of course, talking about the same folks, that they would have a child. Now, they were old, health stricken in age. Sarai was not just barren, she was past childbearing in the physical sense. And yet God promised them that they would have a son and to carry on the family name. Well, just like most people do when we don't trust the promise of God, Sarai and Abram, and they're both equally responsible here. We cannot blame Sarai, just like you can't blame Eve, because Eve was subtly tricked into eating the fruit, but Adam did it willfully. And that's why Adam is the seed of sin in the human race. Well, even though Sarai gave the idea, Abram could have very easily said, no, I'm not going to do that. God made me a promise. But instead, he takes Hagar to wife, he does marry her, and then by her has a child that Sarai somehow thinks in her mind is going to be hers. Well, you know that's not the way that works. And so if we read on in verse number 4, and he went into Hagar, she conceived, but she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Now, the master, Sarai, the mistress, is now being taunted and mocked by the servant, Hagar. Sarai, verse 5, said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee, I have given my maid unto thy bosom. When she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes, and the Lord judged between me and thee. And I'm going to skip down a little for time's sake, and I want you to look at verse number 14. The Bible said, or I'm sorry, verse 12. Let me find my spot here. In verse 11, now, and the Bible said, The angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, shalt bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Ishmael. Ishmael, which means God shall hear, for God has heard. And notice, though, he said, Behold, thy child, to bear a son called name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard thy affliction, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. He shall dwell in the presence of all of his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, How God seeth thee. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth thee? Therefore, the well was called Beer Lahairoi, behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. I'm going to stop right there. Now, the name Beer Lahairoi simply means, if you have a Schofield, upright or sincere. It's an honest well. It's a place where God has seen Hagar and Ishmael. Now, what's happened, just to wrap this thing up quickly to get to the point. She has Ishmael. Abram is excited. But Sarai becomes the focus of mockery and shame because she couldn't have children. And by the way, in those days, it was very common for women who did not have children to be made fun of. You know, we talk about bullying our society. Back then, it was an accepted response to someone because it was just determined that a woman was to bear children and she could not, that somehow there was something wrong with her. Now, we know there was something spiritually wrong with Sarai, other than she came up with this sort of plan. Now Ishmael is born. After so many years, Sarai, now Sarah, gets mad and has Abraham throw them out of the camp. So the Bible tells us that Hagar and Ishmael, who was about 14 years old at that time, went out into the wilderness. Abraham at that point gave her a loaf of bread and a cask of water, and that was it. I would think he'd have done better for his son, but did not. Well, as the story goes, they are now starving to death. They are now without water. They're out in the desert. Bible says that her and this 14-year-old boy. Now, you know, you think a 14-year-old boy would have a little more vim and vigor, but obviously he was hungry, starving, thirsty. And so she comes to the place of almost just quitting on life. The Bible says she puts the young man under a shrub, under a bush, in the shade, to at least protect him. And then she went off, the Bible said, went off a distance where she could not hear him crying out as he was dying. And she got away, And the Bible said, though, that God showed up. So God had promised Abram, I will bless your seed. Now, he made the promise of Israel to Isaac. God made a promise, if you want to call it a blanket promise, because God's intention was for Ishmael not to be here. This was for Isaac. But because this was the child of Abram, and God made the promise to Abram, I will bless your seed. He had no choice. God never breaks promise. And so he kept the promise, and he honored Ishmael, or at least the Bible says, and of course the Arab race, the Arab nations, have descended from Ishmael. Now, here's where we want to get to the message real quickly. The God, remember what she said there in verse 14? She said, wherefore the well was called Belarohi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. She said, God has seen me, or God seeth me. They saw the same God that saw Hagar and Ishmael see us say. There's nowhere you can go where God does not see you. The Bible said in the Psalms that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout all of the earth. There's not a crevice too deep, an ocean too deep. There's not a place too dark where God cannot see you. God knows everything about us. And so he sees us. He knows who we are. He knows where we are. He knows what we're doing, and he knows what we're going through. And so that is, now you know that God has three basic attributes. I told you this before. Most of you know this. But God has three characteristics. One, he is omniscient, meaning that he knows everything. He is also omnipotent. That means he is all-powerful. And then what we see here is he is omniscient. He knows and sees everything. And so I want to touch on that for just a minute. It's 6:35, so give me just a few minutes. We won't keep you too long. But I want you to notice the God who sees. Number one, we find the certainty of his omniscience. Remember, omniscience means he knows everything. The devil does not have the same characteristic as God has. Satan does not know everything. You know, a lot of times, you know how to keep the devil away off of you? Don't give him any information. But you supply him with information about yourself. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Now, I'm not talking about on the internet. I'm not talking about that way. I'm talking about allowing him to have access to your soul and your heart and your life. He has to have help. And God gives him permission to do those things. He is not omniscient. He's not everywhere at once. Somebody said, well, the devil was on me today. And somebody will speak up and say, boy, he's on me too. Not the same devil. Now, he may be in charge of the demonic horde, but he's not everywhere at once. He can't be. But God can. He doesn't know everything. But God does. He is not all-powerful. He tried to overthrow God, and God put him out. And God put him out again. And God's going to put him out again. Before it's over, cast him into hell. And so we're talking about only God in omniscience. He's omniscient in his person. The word theos is the Greek word that we give to God, but it literally means the one who sees. When we do theology, that's the study, Brother Steve, of God. Is that right? But what we're really studying is the one, not one of the ones, the one who sees. And so when we study about God, when we know about his person, we love the one who sees. Charles Spurgeon said this, it is as impossible to conceive of a God who does not see everything as it is to conceive of a round square. In other words, if you're a Christian, you must believe that God sees everything. If you believe in God, you've got to believe everything about Him, don't you? If you trust somebody, you trust all about them, not just a few things that you can pick and choose. That's why families break up, because trust is broken. Why? Because the wife or the husband or the children don't want to just trust a few things. They want to be able to trust everything. But God, you can do that, amen? Is that right? Y'all with me tonight? You seem kind of tired tonight, huh? We've all had kind of a long week. I'm going to let you out here just a minute. You can go home, eat a hamburger, and sit in the chair and go to sleep, and watch football. But listen, just stay with me a minute, will you? Everybody sit up good and straight. That's great. Some of you went down. We see the certainty of His omniscience in His presence. We also see it in His presence. Have you ever felt the presence of God? Have you ever felt the presence of God in prayer when God then would answer that prayer and suddenly God would answer a prayer before you even went into the specifics of that prayer? You know why? Because He already knows. He already knows everything. He knows your prayer need before you make your prayer request. And a lot of times, God will have the answer already on the way that you ask for it. I cannot do that for you. I cannot answer a need. Now, I may do something for you. This has happened. I've done it, and people have done it to me. They'll put some money in my hand, or I'll give somebody some money, Judy and I. And here's what they'll say. Oh, preacher, you won't believe this, but I so needed that, and God, I asked God to provide that, and use you to do it. I've said that to people. I've said that to some of you right here in this place. And isn't it amazing that somebody say, well, God laid you on my heart. You know why? Because He already knows. In His omniscience, He sees. He knows what Judy and Sonny Branham need before Judy and Sonny Branham even know they need it. How about that? Hey, God knows what Anchor Baptist Church needs before we ask Him and tell Him what we need. That's the God we serve, amen? That's the God who sees in His omniscience, the certainty of His omniscience. Let me move quickly. Then notice the consequences of His omniscience. He said, the God that seest thee. You know what that means, don't you? He doesn't just see your needs, but He sees your nature. He sees your motives. He sees not only the good, but He sees evil. Somebody said, well, nobody really knows my heart. I'm telling you, I will never know your heart. I can only go by what I... And by the way, that's why God put in the Scripture to the human beings, by their fruits ye shall know them. In other words, I only know you by what I see come from you. God knows who you are before it ever gets out. God sees in the very recesses of our heart. There's nothing down in there that He doesn't... You can hide it from everybody. Sure can. You're not going to hide it from God. A lot of Christian folk do a lot of things in private, in the dark, away from everyone, and feel like they got away with it. God saw every bit of it. God heard every bit of it. Why? Because He's omniscient. He doesn't need a report from someone. You're doing it, saying it, living it. He sees it himself. He said in that verse, God sees me. That's the consequence. We're thankful for the reward, but just remember the same God that rewards you when you're doing right will punish you when you're doing wrong. And even then, sometimes the punishment may be coming down the road. You don't even know it yet. Somebody said this. They do something and they think God didn't pay attention, so they got away with it. But here's what they say. The wheel of judgment, the grinding wheel of judgment grinds slow, but it grinds. It's time for that wheel to get around. They said, well, I didn't see that one. I got away with that. And all of a sudden, judgment falls. And it overtakes them because they're surprised. But God, I don't understand. I thought you let me by. The Bible said God will not wink. So we not only have the certainty of His omniscience. Oh, He sees everything. How God seeth me. We also see the consequences of His omniscience. How seeth me. His knowledge of us is personal. His knowledge of us is perfect. His knowledge of us is persistent. That word seeth, Brother Steve, is one of those present, perfect tense words. Now, it's a Hebrew word. It's got the same effect, and that is God didn't just see you yesterday, but he sees you yesterday. He sees you today, and he's going to see you the same way right on. God doesn't see you today and say, well, I've seen enough of him. I've got to move on to somebody else and keep checking on them. God keeps checking on all of us at the same time. God keeps a check on Dave Clemmer in Peru. I just kept keeping a check on Rick Kirkland in Columbia, South Carolina at the same time. Because he's God. How can that be? I don't know. He's just God. All I can say is what Hagar said. Oh, God. His omniscience certain. His omniscience has consequences. Let me hurry along. His omniscience brings comfort. Boy, when she said, thou God seest me, she didn't know it at the time, but God already had that promise laid out. By the way, the Bible says that while she was suffering and pining over her son and her dying, God dug her a well. About that. She didn't dig it. Ishmael didn't dig it. God dug it. About that. And gave her water so she could survive. Isn't God good to always just show up on time? I mean, you've ever had something happen, God bless you, right on time. I mean, the one moment you're going, I don't know how it's going to, boom, and it's fixed. You look around and say, what happened? Here's what happened. How God. Hey, that's the comfort of his omniscience. And see, I'll close with this. That comfort he sees supplicant. Hagar was praying. Hagar was begging for something. That's what supplication is. When the Bible speaks to us about supplication, it's more than just praying. Getting to the place where you're so desperate until you're begging God to intercede. So I think sometimes we don't get all we can get in our prayer life because we think all we got to do is just say, God, give it to me. Okay, boom, there it is. But first, you have to be involved in it, first of all. Number two, sometimes God will hold it back to see how bad you want it. Huh? Now, you say, well, preacher, I've been praying for $1 million for 40 years. Now, that is praying for your lust. Here's what we'll say. Boy, if I could have won that $1.6 billion lottery, I'd pay off every church in America. But you wouldn't. Tell that story. Yeah, but I'd help everybody I could. No, you wouldn't. You know what the Bible said? That the love of money is the root of all evil. Somewhere behind, number one, if you won the lottery, shame on you. I don't forget the tithe on it, but shame on you. I'm going to tell you now. Some folks have asked me this before. If somebody won the lottery, tried to give us the money, I wouldn't take it. You say, well, preacher, wait. Brother Steve talked about out of Jersey spending that money to help me build the wall of Jerusalem. Well, that didn't happen by Nehemiah gambling for it. Just thought you'd want to know that. Somebody said, he's crazy. I wouldn't want to have to stand before God and have to explain why I accepted gambling money. I thought I'd throw that out. I know you're ready to go home. I am too. It's 6:45. Seven? Yeah, my gracious. I just wonder if you knew what time it was. He sees the supplicant. He sees the sufferer. Some of you, I was watching that for the days. Those kids, even though they look, and I'm sure physically, maybe many of them do suffer a pain that goes along with their malady and their ailment, I'm sure. Because I've seen folks around here that way. Don't you know God, those kids? Don't you know God, those kids? But he said, well, God must have cursed them children for them to turn out that way. Well, I'll tell you what did it. S-I-N. Sin did that. I'm not saying that the mother, the dad was in sin when they were conceived. I'm just saying that sin causes that kind of situation. But God sees them too. You look on our mission board, those people that are in those foreign lands, I'm telling you, you may look at those people and say, boy, I'd never go there. Them people are heathen. Just remember, God sees them too. Just watch those folks dancing. I know they're doing that cultural dance. Those people are watching intently. Many of them probably, you know, really thinking about the religious of that or the worship part of that or just the culture. But I'm telling you, God sees that. God sees through all that guard. Let me tell you something, folks. God sees through your church clothes. God sees through all that church stuff, that religious stuff. I'm glad. Supplicant. You see, the sufferer, that's God he sees. Remember, I told you this morning about Boaz, Ruth, how they were a type of Christ and the Gentile church. Here, Hagar is a type of sinner. Hagar is a type of a sinner. Why? Why do you say that? Well, she couldn't hide from God's. You say, preacher, what does that mean? Remember when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden? What's the first thing they did? They made aprons and then they hid as though God couldn't find them. Not only did God find them, God's voice found them. God's voice can find you. I reckon God's eyes can find you too. As sinners, that's what we do. We go to church. We do religious things, trying to hide from the judgment of God. Folks, God's gate. You ever looked at someone and thought, boy, they're looking right into my soul. I've looked at some people that didn't look like they had. I've looked people in the eye that I could tell by their look that they were wrestling with God. Given it because they had given up on God. I've had my own eyes. I could tell you about it. I wouldn't know if I called the name. I'm telling you, I've seen it. I've looked. I'm telling you, God sees. Not only could could she not hide from God's gaze? Thank God she couldn't hide from God's grace. How about that? She was out there ready to die, ready to give him up for death, and God said, I'm here. When he showed up, she said, thou God seest me. But it just woke up her face. She heard Abram talk about God. Abram talked about God all the time. No doubt she heard Sarai talk about God all the time. She probably even heard Sarai laugh. The angel said, I'm going to give you a child. Abram said, man, I'm old. I'm 90 years old. My wife is past child. That we're just too old. It happened. Fine. God made a promise. God made a promise to Abram because God, you know why God, of all the people in the world, call out to start the nation of Israel? Why did he pick Abram? I mean, there's nothing in the Bible that says here's why God picked Abram, except that the Bible said when he called Abram, Abram responded. You know what that tells me? Perhaps God called several people in Ur of the Chaldees, and they didn't answer. The Bible said that Abram, and the Bible said it was counted to him. Right. And from that moment on, he followed God. Everywhere he went, could you imagine? If I read that story of Abram, or Abraham and Isaac on the mountain, people tell the story as though Abram threw back the knife and then stopped and waited for God to stop him. I think he was in the motion of killing Isaac. I really do. I think he was coming down. Now, that's me. Not the scripture, so, you can take that up with him when you get there. I can see Abram, because here's what God said. I have seen. Thou wouldst not withhold. I know he found that. You know what God responds to more than anything else, like anybody else does? Talk is action, louder than words. There's Casey and Sandro. Sandro's got a heart for his own. You could hear Sandro's testimony, how he got God saved, and I couldn't have done that. God sees me. Amazing. By the way, the reason we're not saved, our lady's evil years ago. From that, God called her the mission field. God saw, and she said, I'm going to Peru. I don't guess she knew Sandro until she got there, right? I mean, it was kind of like your deal, right? She got down there, and there's, I mean, who wouldn't want to marry Sandro? How do you heard him? Oh, Mary, what a great fellow he is. He's just so humble. God saw amazing action. I'm going to serve God. Single, married. I'm going to serve God. And God said, okay, I see you. I'm going to give you somebody. He went in and said, I quit. When are you leaving? Tomorrow. God heard that. God saw that. When he got there, that little lady along. Christina. Me trying to speak Spanish or something. It'd be good to speak English. Mrs. Clemmer. Never met. But Dave said, I'm going down there to serve God. And God said, I see that. I'm going to fix you like you did Boaz with Ruth. Amen? Well, listen, folks. God sees everything. He knows everything. But most of all, you're doing right. You honor what you do. Father, we love you, man. I sure thank you. I so enjoy being with our missionaries. Last week, it was Brother Dennis Carroll from Mongolia. What a great presentation. He was so impressed by the work they're doing. And now, Lord, here comes Dave Clemmer and First Mason. Sandro has been here on a couple of occasions. You get to see these videos and see that, Lord, the labor is not in vain. But us giving is a mission church. Now, I do. I wish we could give lots more, Father. I so wish we could. We try to be good stewards, but we try to be a help. And God, you know our hearts. We love those people there. I've never met any of them. Seen them on a video. But I'm telling you, I love them people. I want them to get saved. I want to know the Lord. I wanted to have what I have. May not happen that way, but no matter what they have or don't have, no matter where they live or don't live, no matter rich or poor, thou God seest them. So Father, I pray that all of us here will get a heart, not only for knowing that God sees everything, to spur us to live more holy than we do, but also to understand that God doesn't just see me. He sees those little kids down in Peru. He sees those people in Mongolia. He sees those people in Africa, in Greenland, in Iceland, in South America. Wherever we have missionaries, or wherever missionaries are, whether we support them or not, God, you see them. What a mighty God we serve. Well, Father, I pray that Hagar found out that God was real. May we also, when we find it out, not be ashamed to tell anybody we know that our God sees us. He watches over us and he cares for us when no one else can. Thank you for this time together. Bless the moment of invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's stand together.